Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
When cruise ships land at a port in Ireland, on average, each passenger spends €81 at that destination and each crew member €29. That adds up when you have thousands of passengers and hundreds of crew members. And now Cruise Ireland, which represents the sector, has signed a memorandum of understanding with Cruise Britain in the hope of boosting business. Conor Moles is the chair of Cruise Ireland and the chief commercial officer at the Port of Cork. Good morning, Conor.
Good morning.
Let us start with who or what Cruise Ireland is or does.
Well, Cruise Ireland is an all-island body. It's a marketing collective that brings all the organisations that are involved in the supporting the cruise sector in Ireland together to work together to promote Ireland as a cruise destination of choice.
And does it include the kind of the taxis that meet all the passengers off the ship? And does it include some restaurants? Does it include the port itself?
It actually includes effectively everything. At one end of the spectrum, you have the primary ports. In this instance, at one end of the island, we have Belfast and we have Derry. And then at the other end of the island, we have what we have, Waterford, Cork, Galway, Dunleary in the centre, all supporting the cruise industry. We also have the excursions companies that support the tourists when they come ashore and the destinations themselves. And that ranges from everything from Titanic Belfast and the Guinness Storehouse right through to the county councils that support the tourists when they're visiting. Visit Belfast, for example, and other even the Game of Thrones studio, who joined us recently as a kind of excursion for the shore passengers of interest.
I note that Dublin City Port is not part of Cruise Ireland.
No, unfortunately, Dublin is no longer part of Cruise Ireland. They made a strategic move in that space because of their business focus. But Dunleary is a very active part of it. And indeed, they take a significant number of cruise calls supporting cruise tourism in the Dublin region.
And I'm guessing the big ships can't get into Dunleary Harbour, but they're going to have to wait a little bit out in the bay, do they?
Yeah, now that is a significant challenge. So Dunleary is what we call a tender port, which means the vessels can come close to Dunleary, drop anchor, and then the tourists are tendered in and out. But since Dublin made that strategic move, what it has meant is it's brought the other ports, particularly Belfast and ourselves, far closer together, which gives an awful lot of strength and depth to the all-island approach which we have in Cruise Ireland.
Okay, you've signed a memorandum of understanding with Cruise Britain. What's that about?
Well, what that does at a strategic level is it brings Cruise Britain and Cruise Ireland together to promote our shared islands as a destination of choice to that all-important US market, particularly diaspora, but also general tourists. And it gives us, at an operational level, a framework within which we can work together to look at joint marketing campaigns, sustainable cruising, the legislation that supports cruise and working together in that space. It really sends out the huge message to the cruise lines that we needed, which is that we are working together in these islands to support this industry.
Now, the cruise sector had a reputation, Conor, for being an older audience, cash and time rich. Is that still the case?
No, not at all. It has changed quite significantly in the last couple of years. So you still have, at one end of the spectrum, the older demographic that you refer to. But we're seeing the emergence now of all different types of cruise vessels, both in terms of the financial aspect, but also in terms of what the cruise vessels were doing. For example, what we're seeing an awful lot of now being built and delivered are these expedition vessels, something that does something a little bit more different, where the passengers are not really interested in coming into the larger ports on the larger ships and doing the standard destinations, but something a little bit different. For example, into Bantry Bay to drop their ribs and explore the region. The guys that go to the Antarctic regions and such. So Ireland and Britain provide a lot of ports that can support that. That's something that little bit different than the standard port, but you still have that standard port operational piece, which is hugely important. For us, for example, we've over 103 vessels calling to the Port of Cork alone this year and 20 vessels to Bantry, which comes under our management as well.
Are you guys agnostic about which cruise company comes in to Cork or Waterford or even Galway, be that Princess or P&O Cruises or Carnival?
We are agnostic, and in terms of that, the cruise vessels that exist these days, particularly post COVID, are all high quality. COVID was extraordinarily difficult for the cruise industry. It effectively dropped off a cliff. And what you saw was any cruise line operators who were maybe on the margins of operating, they're gone now. And what you see are all high-end vessels operated by high-end operators, such as the ones you've mentioned. So we have, for example, the Cunards of this world, the Royal Caribbeans, and indeed, even this year alone, we have the new Cunard vessel, the Queen Anne, making her maiden voyage to Ireland and to Cove.
Mm. Mass tourism, though, and let's be honest, these giant cruise ships are the embodiment of mass tourism. It is under threat from for ecological reasons, environmental reasons, but also city mayors are just tired of huge numbers of people arriving in and not staying a night in their hotels.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, and certainly we have seen that in the likes of Barcelona and Venice. Mm. But one of the things we're looking at with this memorandum with Cruise Britain is sustainable tourism. Over-tourism is no good to anyone. We need to ensure that we work together to make the cruise industry a sustainable industry. And in terms of bed nights, we are seeing a shift change there. So we would have seen the likes of Tourism Ireland and such, not paying so much focus on Cruise Ireland because it didn't deliver bed nights. But with the challenges we are facing, both here and elsewhere, with bed night availability, with the likes of the challenges with refugees and such, the beauty of cruise tourism is that there's
don't take up any local beds.
Precisely. These guys bring their own beds. And they come and they have a taste of what's best for the country. They see the attractions and such. They spend money. And then they go back and they don't impinge upon that bed nights issue, which is of course a challenge for us at the moment. On the sustainability side, it's twofold. It's not just the over-tourism. It's also to do with the environment itself. And what we do insist, and maybe this goes back to one of your earlier questions when it comes to whether we're agnostic or not on the cruise lines, what we do insist on is the vessels operating in an environmentally appropriate way. And that's something that's very close to the MOU's focus as well.
Do cruise companies pay their staff fairly? We've all heard cases of P&O ferries paying their staff between Britain and France a fraction of the minimum wage, both in France and in Britain.
Oh, it's a very different operating piece when it comes to cruise lines. So, I mean, in reality, in the maritime world, there are of course vessels around the world that don't pay their crew properly. It's very different in the cruise industry. Cruise lines crew are paid well, they're treated well, good environments, and they're passenger interfacing. And so to secure a role on a cruise ship, whether you're an officer or whether a crew person, it's a prized role. So they're paid well. And that's one thing that is always managed by port state authorities when they keep an eye on how passengers and crew in particular, are treated when they come to ports.
And would you refuse a cruise ship coming in if you thought or were told by a whistleblower that it was paying unfair wages and unfair conditions?
It would never occur for the port of authority in that respect. That would come down to the port state authority. But for us, if that was brought to our attention, we would certainly facilitate the authorities to go on board and see if there was an issue. But for us, it genuinely hasn't occurred when it comes to the cruise line sector.
All right. What's the best cruise ship you've ever been on?
If I answered that now, I think I'd probably be in trouble because then I'd have many cruise lines ringing me up today to say you're giving us preferential treatment. What I would say is any of the cruise vessels that I've been on have been fairly fabulous. So much so, I'll be reaching a significant birthday next year. I'm going to bring my own family there. So I'm going to put my money where my mouth is and go cruising.
Okay, well, best of luck. Enjoy that significant birthday, Conor. That's Conor Moles, the chair of Cruise Ireland and the chief commercial officer at the Port of Cork.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.